Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Knee Slappin' K-Pop Podcast. This episode, we're talking about round three, part two of Kingdom?
Yes. Round three, part two.
Part two. Fun. Yes. I don't know why it's not just called round four. It had nothing to do with round three.
This is what I don't understand about the Kingdom series as a whole, is why we can't just have five rounds, because it's essentially five rounds, but, you know, we have to be stupid about it.
Yep. I'm Sammy. With me today is Kayla.
Hello.
As usual for Kingdom Cast. As usual.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made our opinions about the first two performances known last episode. Now you get the detailed opinions.
Yes, yes.
So, the concept for this round, I find odd, because there isn't really...
there isn't. It's because it's called No Limit. So that means there is no concept, essentially.
There is no concept. Because you can do your own song, someone else's song, a collab with that other person, or your own B-side.
You could have, sang a song in English if you wanted to. If you wanted to cover, like, Imagine Dragons, you know, someone probably could have done that if they wanted to.
You can do whatever you want. It's whatever you... I think there needs to be more structure with how these rounds turned out.
Oh, yes, because this round, very much a disaster all over the place.
Yes.
No theme here, but I also feel like...
to the disaster that it was.
Exactly, but I also feel like that's kind of how Kingdom has gone generally, with these round themes having absolutely no, like, real theming to
structure.
Them. Yeah, because even the first one was To the World, and it was like, you know, here's a performance you want to show to the world. And I'm like, cool, great, that could literally mean anything.
The thing with that is that I feel like they can work if you just give them, like, one more rule.
Yes.
If, like, the rule is To the World, but you have to do a performance you want to show to the world that is, like,
that you haven't done before. Yeah,
or, like,
do something else.
That you've never done before. A song that you've always wanted to perform. Because I feel like, and we'll get to it with one of the performances, but I think that with these rounds, and Queendom did this a bit, because some people did B-sides, but I really think that a lot of their B-sides would have been really fun to do with rounds, except instead of hearing the same song we've heard 1,000 times before, done again. But let's start with the first performance. So the first person we got was
Icon.
And Icon decided to do not their own song, not their own B-side, not even another group's title track.
Nope.
They decided to do a different group's B-side.
It's like, sure, okay.
Levels. There's
Why
levels.
Not? There's,
Icon did Pretty Savage by Blackpink.
But we renamed it Classy Savage.
Because Icon can't have anything for themselves.
Icon can't be pretty, apparently.
One, Icon can't be pretty, and two, everything about YG has to revolve around Blackpink now, because, you know, everyone else is dead, rip.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say that I feel like these in-between preparing for the performance segments have gotten worse as we've gone on.
Because I genuinely feel like everyone is engaging less and less as it goes on.
Icon in particular, like,
does not care.
Don't want to be here. They absolutely don't want to be on the show anymore. So their whole segment is, half of it is them eating at a meat restaurant, which I think is actually kind of fun.
You know what? Thrive.
It's like,
Thrive,
actually,
Kings. Thrive.
This is the ones I kind of enjoyed more, because they're, like, not, I find myself very bored with the performance, or these sections
are
only just talking about preparation for the performance. I like the ones that are more, like, fun, and we're doing stupid things in them, like this one was. It was cute.
Yeah, I think that, so far, a lot of the groups that are very into it are, like, the ones I care the least about.
Because
exactly.
I feel like
whatever, lower the engagement level. Because at the beginning of this performance, so I at first saw the theming for this and saw, like, spoiler, Lisa's there. But I saw
Lisa's
the theming
there,
for this
yes.
and I thought it was going to be B-Day.
Yes, because it looks exactly
B-Day.
Like the set of B-Day. Like, this is the set you perform B-Day in.
Yes, and I was excited because, you know, Icon, that was a title track with Bling Bling. That was, like, co-titled.
Mm-hmm.
But they never really did B-Day, they did Bling Bling. So, like, that would have been a little bit more of a deep cut. And I was upset that we got Classy Savage.
We got Classy Savage instead. I'm like, this is the most disappointing thing maybe they could have covered, so.
Yeah. And the other thing is that in the beginning, you see different YG artists on television because, again, Icon can't have anything for themselves, apparently.
No, so we get Big Bang, we get Winter, and we get Blackpink, like,
music video. We don't get 21,
video.
Though.
We don't get 21, we don't get Treasure. 21.
Don't get Treasure, don't get ACMU.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the people we don't mention.
Only the ones that
don't
care
get
about,
Somi
apparently.
Either, but Somi's Black Label.
That's
so.
Black Label, yeah.
Just also putting it out there.
Also, the theming of this performance is very bizarre. Like, the story they're trying to tell is very
It doesn't
weird.
Make any sense.
No.
Also, at the beginning, they're on a couch, on a very small couch, and Bobby's just asleep.
Bobby's soul has left his body, and Bobby does not want to be here anymore.
He is here to have fun, mm-hmm. and whatever is not fun, he is not engaging with.
I know.
And that is how I dream to live my life.
And Bobby throughout this entire performance kills me so much because you can so tell on his face and his facial expressions and the way that he's just like doing his lines. It's, he like hates it here. He's like, I don't want to be here, but I'm here. Like, what am I doing? It's amazing. What an icon.
What a literal, I mean,
literal
a
icon.
Literal icon. I mean, he begins his rap with a bag over his head.
He does. And then it's like, the part where they bring out Lisa, he just has this, and they are doing like some weird, stupid acting thing, and Bobby is like, oh, what do I do? And it's just like the look on his face is like so funny.
And this is interesting because I genuinely don't think I've ever seen Black Icon interact with women. I don't know what's going on with that.
No.
Is that Lisa's on a separate stage.
Yeah.
Like, Lisa is in that back part of the stage, pretending to be, like,
and Icon is never
queen.
In the back part of the stage.
No,
Icon is
not
only
at all.
In the front of the stage.
And Lisa never comes to the front part of the stage at all.
Not even for the ending
separate.
Or anything. Just
nope.
It's
She's
completely
just separate.
Separate
but
the
also,
whole time.
Lisa doesn't do, Lisa doesn't, like, doesn't do anything. Like, she just
no.
does her rap part.
Lisa comes
like,
in, does her own rap verse, and then, like,
no
leaves.
Change.
Doesn't
like,
even get to dance or anything. She just is there and does her rap verse, and then she leaves. Like, that's all we get.
It's not any sort of remix. It is just the verse that she has that has already been written for her. They haven't
mm-hmm.
done anything different. There's no remix. There's no dance break. Nothing is... It's not even a cover. It's just a performance.
No, like, that's her song. That's her rap verse from this song. It's like, they definitely just are using her for the streaming views and everything, but,
yeah.
like,
and also
it was
that
so
I'm
useless.
I'm also pretty sure they didn't change the dance, at least her part of the dance. Maybe the backup dancers are doing a different dance.
No, I'm pretty sure whatever she's doing is just what she does in the song originally.
It's just what that dance is.
Yeah.
I think the backup dancers might have a different version,
mm-hmm.
but Lisa, it is just what she would be doing at that part in the song in a Blackpink fit, in a, the Blackpink
That is what she's doing.
Is what
yeah.
she is doing. Nothing has changed. But
no.
Then again, I think they maybe gave Lisa 2 hours. She came back from China from doing... Like, Youth with U3 after that
yeah.
show got canceled. They're like, oh, so tomorrow
can you be in this Icon
performance? Can you just, like, hop over? It's like a couple, you know, it's like a fit. It's 30 seconds short. We kind of need somebody. You want to just, like,
mm-hmm.
go in there? She's
go
like,
and, like,
sure.
just do your rap and, like, chill and then leave. And then that's all you need to do, really.
They
so.
Informed Lisa the night before that she had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But genuinely, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of this song to begin
no,
with.
No, it's a fine, I think it's fine. Like, there are Blackpink songs I hate more than this. Like, I think
oh,
it's
yeah.
fine. The song's fine,
it's
I
not,
guess.
It's not bad.
The
it's
performance
just, like,
is very
why?
Boring. This whole,
yeah.
it's very boring. It's not bad,
it's
I would
not
say.
Bad.
But there's
it's,
nothing special about
no.
it, really. Like, they, didn't, they
like,
did the bare minimum with this stage, I
yeah.
feel like.
Yeah, it's very boring. I'm underwhelmed entirely by
That's
it.
That's how
that
I was
bad.
With most of this round, is this, a lot of this round is just very boring.
Yeah, and I also just don't think Icon has their heart in it.
No, Icon definitely doesn't want to be here, doesn't
not,
really care at all.
Here's
so.
The thing, I don't know if it's just, because they've had their heart in it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it really, I think Icon's here for fun, and when they're, because this seems like that they're being forced to do this.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Like, this was not their idea to do Classy Savage. This was YG being like, we gotta cross-promote with other YG artists. This was not their idea.
I think
and
them
so
losing,
they had,
them and the It's One team losing all three rounds of round three part one is the turning point for Icon, where they're just like, we're not gonna win, so, like, why the fuck are we even here anymore?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
And the thing is that I think with, like, SFW and the boys with them, like, I'm pretty sure they're probably aware that they're not going to win, but they're at least, I think, having fun a little bit still. Icon is, like, not having fun. And they're just, like, I'm here because we're contractually obligated to be here, and we're, like, not even having fun here.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, because I think they might be able to turn it around the last round.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an original song, and I think that YG knows to give them control over their
Have you heard
still.
The original songs yet?
No, I haven't.
Theirs is it's a weird song. It's not a great song.
I actually kind of, I was going to listen to them, then just didn't have time and now have forgotten that they already came out. So thank you for reminding me, Kayla.
Yes, I have listened to all of them as of right now.
So you will be getting Kayla's opinions. I'll give mine next week when we do the last round.
It weirdly sounds a lot like an Icon song and weirdly a lot not like an Icon song simultaneously. It's very weird. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it.
We'll have a week to marinate on it.
Mm-hmm. Because they did come out today, like 12 hours ago, not even. Yeah. So.
All right. So that was Icon. We were mostly, I wouldn't say under or overwhelmed. I was whelmed.
No. I was whelmed. Yeah, I was thoroughly whelmed by it.
Thoroughly whelmed. Mm-hmm. Now we go to a group we've had a contentious relationship with over the past couple weeks.
Oh, yes. It's only going to continue. Here we go.
It has been extended a week. We'll see if they can, if this can keep going for the full 10 weeks.
Finale might turn it around a little bit, actually.
Maybe, I'm hoping.
Because I actually kind of like their original song,
ooh,
so.
Yay.
It's, so I think, their best song they've released in, like, 2 years, so.
Ooh, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Stray Kids.
Yes.
And they are doing God's Menu mixed with Do-Do-Do-Do-Do-Do by Blackpink.
And again, God's Menu is barely in this remix. It's there for one line, really.
And also, we've themed it around Deadpool.
Because, I guess, why not?
Popular films. Felix is Deadpool and breaks the fourth wall. I'm not pleased. And also, he hops off of a crock pot.
I think it's a rice cooker. It's been determined that was supposed to be a rice cooker.
It looks more like a crock pot because of, I don't know.
I don't understand why it's there, to be honest. But
it's a choice.
It's a giant rice cooker is there for some reason.
And
Bang Chan also sort of Deadpool at another point in time. Does another
also breaking the fourth
full
wall.
English monologue like Felix does.
Kayla, you really do. It's one of your favorite things.
Oh,
Australian accents.
Love the
English
Australian
monologues.
English monologues, because that's apparently a trope in K-pop now, and I'm not entirely pleased about it.
We love it, because also it's your favorite N-hyphen tracks.
Is the
multiple Australian
just Jake speaking over the entire intro and outro of the N-hyphen
songs. I love Jake.
Songs.
Let's not bring him into this.
But that,
we
like, I just, but I just, it's just so funny that Australian English monologues is now just a K-pop trope, because it has happened more than one time now, so.
This year.
Yes.
So, this also doesn't have a great theming. It's
no,
weird.
First of all, like, what's,
any sense.
Why? Number one question is why, because this is very, like, reminds me of Road to Kingdom, where it's like, we found a song, and we're gonna throw a theme at it. And, like, that's, and they're not gonna make sense together, but, you know, that's what we're gonna do now.
And
that's what this is.
Now we have the added issue of trying to, like, mix two songs together.
Yeah, because I think this all started because Bang Chan randomly decided one day that he needed to remix God's Menu with Blackpink's Do 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 Do. And
I don't
know
what the purpose of that is or why we're doing it.
And
but
him
decided to do it.
Yeah, and him remixing those two songs together resulted in God's Menu being in one line of the chorus of this entire song. And that's all he was able to put in there. Because it's mostly did it, did it, do. And you get the God's Menu chorus do, 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 do once in there. And that's all we got from that. So.
And also the fact that it's interesting because, like, the Deadpool theming is mainly just the two monologues and then just the fact that there's a bunch of guns everywhere.
Yeah, the Deadpool theming is not very prevalent at all in the performance.
Yeah, it's odd. Mainly just because they're also doing two songs we don't like. We are not big fans of, like, we don't like God's Menu and we don't like Do-Do-Do-Do-Do by Black Pink. Nope. All of them are bad. Both of them are bad songs. So
and now we've just put them together. Yeah, and I'm like, great. Now it's very similar to when they remix Sad Effects with God's Menu. And I'm like, cool, we're going to put two songs I already dislike together. Great.
Yeah. And then also, do we want to talk about the ending?
I do think we need to talk about the ending, because this is this is really where I was like, what's happening here?
Yes. So, post-monologue.
Post the Bang really, Chan monologue.
Is really where it jumps off a cliff.
Oh, yes. And it's all, I all think it's mostly Bang Chan, really, is what's happening here.
Because then in his infinite wisdom, he has decided to take, like, a fucking Mad Max truck.
Yeah, we have a weird armored truck, yes.
Get on top of it and shout, what, Stray Kids?
Stray Kids World Domination on the truck with, a Stray Kids flag. And it's,
similarly that YG does a similar thing with Icons Coming to Town, Blackpink in your area. It gives me different vibes.
So here's my big problem with it, is that that is a thing that gets thrown around by the Stray Kids fandom always. As, like, it's just, like, annoying, and it's, like, a way to start fan wars in every, and it's really mainly what it is.
The last thing that this show needs is more fan wars than we already have.
Yeah, and it's honestly a phrase that, like, I think Stray Kids are aware that the fandom uses in such a way to start fan wars, and I think, like, Stray Kids in particular are probably pretty tapped into their fandom and their international fandom, considering they have so many members that speak English.
Not just that, but the fact that they're so young and are very connected to the internet.
And I really dislike the fact that they are probably aware of all of that and are still trying to encourage that type of behavior, and I'm like...
The thing with it, and a lot of people point to other fandoms that are large and annoying.
I know, they point to BTS fandom a lot, but I don't think BTS has never once made a phrase like that and is, like, encouraged it. It's all, like, thank you to our fans for this. It's not, like, BTS world domination. It's not, like, we're doing that all the time.
But any phrase that is used in that context in ARMY fandom culture... One, never gets brought up by BTS at all. And two, is mostly ignored.
Exactly.
And then it will die. Mm-hmm. If you encourage it, it will be an... That is just approving of bad behavior, which, you know, is just gonna make it worse.
And that's what I really hate about it. It is like, you... It's like, I feel like, because if they're so tapped into their fandom, they maybe know that their fandom is, like, kind of toxic as well, like most K-pop fandoms tend to be. So the fact that they're here and they're just like, no, we're going to shout it because the fans will absolutely love that. I'm like, yeah, but you know that they're going to take it too far because that's what the fandoms do when you say that type of thing. And also,
it would be one thing if this was a Stray Kids title track. If this was like
this is a Blackpink song.
This is a Blackpink song for one. And two, it is a competition show where you are against other people.
Oh, yeah. So like if they said it.
You know that.
If they said it, like, at a concert or something, you know, that would also be a little different.
I mean, I'll take it if they said it in a... I would take it if they did it in a title track.
Yeah.
Just in a blatant title track, just do it. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's in a competition show where they have to be against other people with smaller fan bases than they have. They are aware of this, and they are just...
And they are just continuing to push that, and it's just like, something about that is very, like, off-putting to me. Like, I don't enjoy it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
So then, that was one episode. That was the ending of episode 8.
Oh, so, I want to put out, a prediction that I hope is not true for their finale performance. Because I'll give, like, brief thoughts about, like, my... couple of hours I spent today listening to all of the original songs so far. So the Stray Kids song is called Wolfgang, which I haven't read the lyrics. I'm assuming
Mozart?
I'm assuming it's Mozart related because it has got a classical music element to the background.
Oh.
But also, it seems very centric on, like, the wolf part of Wolfgang.
Oh, no.
And because because I like the song a lot until we get to the chorus, and then the song kind of jumps off a cliff. They start wolfing. Like,
oh, no.
And I'm just in the chorus, and I'm like, if they come out in their finale performance as freaking
wolves,
or werewolves? They're like werewolf Mozart, I'm like, this is not what we need to be doing, is werewolf Kayla, Mozart.
When you said Mozart, my brain immediately went to Top Dog's Top Dog.
Yes.
And is it going to be Top Dog's Top Dog mixed with, like, but Wolf Baby
Wolf by EXO.
Wolf by EXO? Oh, no.
And that's, like, what, like, really got me about it. And it was like, we have done the wolf thing. You have done the wolf thing once already on this show.
They were inspired.
We're going to bring it back for our finale song now. And it's, like, and I'm like, I that's the first thought that came to my mind. And I was like, if we're doing Werewolf Mozart as the finale performance, like, this is going to be not it. Like, this is not the choice we need to be making.
We made a choice, and apparently that's what we're doing.
But I'm going to throw that prediction out into the world. I'm going to hope to God that that's not what we get next week. But, Kayla, you know, I think it's a possibility. Like, I don't put it past them that that's what we're going to get. Like, oof.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm hoping we get more Top Dog's Top Dog and less EXO's Wolf.
Yeah, let's, like, the less, like, actual wolf element to the song, the better. But there is just them, like, wolfing in the song. And I'm like,
now I need to go watch these.
This is, like, not it. Yeah.
Listen to these songs.
Mm-hmm.
So now we move on to episode 9, where we get 4 more performances. And I don't know how we filled an hour and a half with 4 performances. It's too much.
I mean, they were filled an hour and a half with 3 performances for a while.
Ugh, I don't love it. No. Nope. But so we start with B2B. B2B, who Changsub's back.
Changsub's back.
I don't know
back.
Where he was for 2 weeks, but he's back. Returned.
He's here.
Great. And they decided to do a B-side of theirs.
Yes.
Called Blue Moon. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. Again, really, there is no reason for... There's no rhyme, reason, or logic in the rules of this competition.
They said in their performance prep thing that it's apparently a song written by Minhyuk, and the fans enjoy the song, like, immensely.
I mean, it's a cute... I mean, it is a nice song.
I do like it.
Maybe one of the best performances... In this round, it's probably my favorite.
I thoroughly enjoyed this performance a lot. Like, I thought it was
it's very
great.
Good.
I really liked it.
And we get Mi-eun from G-Idol.
Yes, and unlike Lisa, Mi-eun playing an actual role in this performance and, like, doing
not
things.
Not singing anything, mainly just dancing.
No, but she's, like...
Not really dancing, but mainly
but she's
just
like
acting.
She's, like, acting, but she, like, actually, like... is important to the performance. And makes sense that she's there. Like,
and there's an actual coherent storyline.
I do, like, the storyline.
The storyline, essentially, is that Mi-eun is, like, an actress, Changsub, an actor, in roles together, but Mi-eun's boyfriend is Minhyuk, who is, like, a PA of some kind?
Or something like that, yeah.
Stagehand?
Sure. Some type of non-acting sort of stage person.
Low, but also, like, a low-level position, because we have the director who's Peniel.
Yes. Peniel actually plays about 5 different people in this performance.
True. I remember him mostly as the director.
Yeah.
And then we have... Because really, it's Minhyuk and Changsub playing 2 distinct characters, and then Peniel and Eunkwang just sort of running around
and
playing everyone else.
Around. And then it's very funny, because have you watched it all the way to the end?
Yes, it's amazing.
Because it's like, that was a whole movie, but then this entire performance itself is a movie.
Also a movie.
And Mia's actual boyfriend is Peniel. It's like...
Yep. It's just like
it's
movie
like another,
on top of
it's like a movie
it's
section.
Layers.
So
it's
many layers of movie.
There's a lot of layers here, and I'm enjoying it. And the
I
song
enjoyed
itself
it a
is
lot.
Very... And the thing with it is also that it is a... type of performance that I feel like only B2B could do.
Oh,
it's very
sure.
unique to them
100%.
Because it's very jazzy. It's a very jazzy song, and it's great. And also, it is a performance that I have not seen, and that
exactly.
can only happen on this show because they're not gonna do a random B-side, and I haven't seen it 1,000 times.
Exactly.
It's a B-side. Like, it's good.
It's really good, and I also enjoy it. It feels like it's right out of a musical, and I am a big fan of that. Sammy and I, like, big fans of, like, show tunes
musicals.
Musical theater, so this
love
was a great,
theater.
Great performance.
Love the fact that B2B has been in musical theater, so they have that kind of repertoire
exactly.
of that. So it's exciting. I like it. Mm-hmm. They pull it off well. They also dance well. They give them dance. I mean, not that B2B can't dance. I think we often, like,
I think we'll it's, rag I on think B2B. It really is that Peniel can't dance.
No.
Because, and he's, like, supposed, and he went, they sent him to the dance round, and I'm watching Peniel this performance, and I'm like, he's really bad. Like, he is not like, doing he's a struggling. Great job.
But, like, they can sort of pull off, like, they can pull off dances that like, are suited toward
dancing,
them.
Basic dancing, yes.
Basic dancing. And we're not saying that they're terrible, but they got their basics down. So, honestly, I thoroughly enjoyed this.
I really like this. I thought it was great. Like, I think B2B has gotten better. Discounting round three, part one. I think they've gotten better with each performance that they've had on this show. So, I really enjoy this a lot. I think you're gonna love their original song.
Ooh,
it is
exciting.
So good. It sounds like it's right out of The Greatest Showman. Like, ooh. It is so good. Like, I really,
exciting.
Really like it. Yeah.
I'm excited for
and
that.
I'm very, it's a song where I'm, like, very interested to see what direction they go with their, like, finale performance.
Yeah, I think that B2B has, I think B2B has the added benefit for them of knowing the kind of group they are and what works. A lot of these other groups, very young. I can see every other group here. Some more than others. I feel like one is very much succeeding and finding a new direction. Other people are sort of, like, playing the field. Like, Icon, disengaged.
Stray Icon Kids, is I think, doing whatever the fuck disengaged. Icon is. People are telling Icon to do.
Icon is having fun.
Yeah.
Icon is here for fun, and when they're told to do something that's not fun, not engaging.
Now we're
Stray
just
Kids,
doing
I can
it.
See them trying to expand what they do. Like, they think that they've... I mean, I think
I feel like
Stray
I've
Kids
seen,
has gone
I've
in a
seen
direction.
No difference in any of these Stray Kids' performance and what Stray Kids currently
I think they're just
as
trying
as
to go bigger. Because I think of, like, debut Stray Kids, very different than current Stray Kids. I think that they are, like, they've picked a direction. Like, you know, B2B picked Ballad Boys and heavy on the vocals.
Yes.
And they've continued that for years. I think Stray Kids has picked a lane, and they're going to drive down that lane until they, like...
Until
as far
we're
as
old
it'll
and
go.
Can't dance anymore, yeah.
Until they're old, until they're done.
Yeah.
They've picked this lane, they're going at 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. They
other people, they're like, you know, driving around, taking the wrong exit, trying to figure out who they are. But I think that B2B, as they're older, they know what works. They're not going to fumble as much as every other group because they know that, like, no, I can't do a... Us members of B2B should not do a massive performance with 70 backup dancers and a giant armored truck.
No, B2B
that doesn't
work. Like knows that that is not what
can
they need
we
to be
do,
doing.
Can we do a full fucking Broadway performance?
Yes.
Yes.
And they can do that incredibly well.
And that works for them, and it's a different kind of performance, but I say that they're equally as impressive because it's not as loud.
No.
It's nowhere near as loud as, like, Icon or Stray Kids.
But it's just as fun.
It's just so fun,
and it's very enjoyable.
Love it.
I really liked it. I liked it a lot.
Now we have a group that is sort of fumbling a little bit in trying to find what their identity is, which is 80s a little bit.
80s. I think AT's has gotten progressively worse as the show went on. We just said B2B has gotten better. AT's is getting worse. They peaked at Wonderland and we've gotten worse every time.
And also,
since.
Every day, I have come to the realization that I call Wonderland performance wave. Every day.
We have gotten into this horrible Mandela effect of that we have just been convinced that that Wonderland performance is Wave.
But
it's not. But
also, it's not.
I'm aware that
brain,
the song they're doing is not Wave.
Never
like,
Wave.
I'm fully aware that they
Mandela
are singing Wonderland.
It's not a Mandela effect that I ever think that, like, ever remember it as being the song Wave. Because I always know that it is Wonderland. It has always been
like,
Wonderland.
I know
Do
that
I
it's Wonderland.
Call it? But I have now my brain is just conditioned
but
like
wave.
To just say Wave.
Because Wave
be
is like big pirate energy from Wave. And I think that's what's doing
energy.
It. Is that it's like Wonderland got the giant pirate ship and I'm like, Wave has like so much more pirate energy than Wonderland does.
Yes.
So
they have decided to do Answer. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, a bop. We put Answer
on
our
like
top 10 songs of last year. We love Answer.
I really like Answer. This is not a bad version of Answer, either. Like,
no.
It's fine,
I mean,
but...
for the first, like, what? 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, something like that. Something like that. They are doing a great performance.
They're just doing a great cover of Answer.
They're doing a great cover of it. It's not a cover. It's their own.
They're performing their own song, Answer.
And it's a, like, and the thing with it is, like, it's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit louder. It's like a little
they
more.
They also
intense.
Did
it's
kind
like,
of
it's
like,
like an,
rearrange
it's like
it
a little bit.
Like the song structure is different.
Yeah, it's almost like what I could see them doing at like an end of the year award show version of Answer, like where it's like louder. You got more of a budget, and then Jungho starts walking up a flight of stairs.
Up a flight of stairs,
and there is just four men
and
who appear.
These four men are a ballad boy, quote unquote boy group, except they're all like 30. Called a poem, and they're a ballad group.
They
debuted last year.
They are.
Don't know why we felt the need
to
have them here at all.
And then they proceed to sing the ode to joy,
just like opera ode to joy,
with like a fucking like a dance beat under it, like a fucking doom doom.
I
doom,
like
doom
very
under
weird.
It as they intensely dance to ode to joy.
Because they
for like 2 minutes.
It's so weird because like half the time they're dancing to it, the first half of ode to joy, they are just like crouching on the
dun,
ground.
Dun, dun.
It's so weird. It is.
And then also Jungho is hitting a high note for like 30 seconds.
Yes. And I've also realized that ATEEZ is a one-trick pony, apparently, because they have to have the Jungho stand there
Long
and do
note.
The high note every single performance. And I'm like, okay, I know that you're a good vocalist, but I'm kind of tired of it.
Here's
now.
The thing. Because I think that, I feel like when ATEEZ has a comeback post this, I will really enjoy it. I think that this show brings out Icon. ATEEZ's worst impulses.
It really did. Like, it really is, like, ruining them.
It is making me more upset. Because they're good. And
they are.
Like,
I liked them.
Nothing,
I liked them so much before this show.
I have no problems with ATEEZ. Because, again, in our Road to Kingdom video, we got accused of a lot of things. Our ranking video.
Oh, yes.
We got accused of a lot of things.
We every single comment on that video is, like, your ATEEZ stands. And I'm just like, but we
really
aren't.
We're
we
SF9
really are
stands.
Not. Yeah.
We're really SF9 stands, if
we
I'm
are.
Being honest.
I
but
am, for sure.
I am as, yeah. I think that this, the problem with, I would still stand by our ranking of ATEEZ, because ATEEZ, in terms of their group material, has not really put out bad songs. Like, they've always been consistently good and getting better. This is a progression backwards.
It's like they hit Wonderland
and
that
was
the
problem.
Yeah, and it's like they have really just not done anything good since that Wonderland performance. It's like it's not that it's been actively bad, but a lot of the decisions they've decided to make in these like the last couple of performances, I'm like, what are you doing right now? Like why?
Yeah.
Like why? I just want to know why.
Yeah, it's an un it's I have, it's an odd choice. A lot of odd choices are being made with ATEEZ.
It's weird.
I want better for them.
I do. I wish they were better the last couple of rounds. It's very sad that this is where they're
at. To see
what's
happening.
Yeah, this is what's happening with ATEEZ. I will say that I give Kim credit for, like, a lot of stuff they put in the performance that I don't necessarily care about because I'm not, like, diehard ATEEZ stands, but they reference a lot of their music videos and everything.
Yeah, they put in a
and
lot of references, and they reference a lot of their old performances.
Yeah, and a lot of
and
stuff they did in there was specifically they were doing for their fandom, which I'm like, that's cute and everything. Like, so I'll give them good credit for that, I guess.
And I love ATEEZ, and I'm not a full-on ATEEZ stan, especially recently.
Oh, yeah.
In the past 10 weeks.
We've been considering doing a re-ranking of Kingdom groups post-Kingdom. And
but I don't think that would be fair, because I think that this show brings out, because again,
worst.
You can say similar things about the groups on Road to Kingdom, where like people that did poorly and people that did well, what they've done post Road to Kingdom
has
been
just, it's been fine.
It's been fine.
Because like, I came out of Road to Kingdom like very negative on both Pentagon and ONF. And then this last year for both
themselves.
Of them have been fine. Like they've both been pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I came out pretty negatively on Very Very.
And Very Very also
now,
made
boom.
Turnaround too, yeah.
Yeah, I think that this show will bring out your worst urges, especially in a competition like this where, like, I'm sorry, Road to Kingdom. You had, like, the ratings weren't great, and also the super intensity of the fandoms is not. I think Stray Kids and ATEEZ, they know the fandom. Like, every single group on this show understands what this show is, understands their fandoms, because they're, you know, grown adults who know. They're not children. Unlike what a lot of K-pop fans like to think, they're aware. They have awareness of the world around them. They're adults. They can understand that there is an intense fan culture, and you have to play into it to a certain extent to get the views and to win. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want to win. But I think that this show can bring out the worst in you because, like, you're trying to play. You know you have to put out good performances, but you also want to play to the fans, but it's like a lot is happening.
It's a lot of stuff you gotta balance there, yeah.
Yeah.
What's very interesting for ATEEZ is I've noticed that ATEEZ has by far the most noticeable gap of international and Korean fandoms. Like, they are on the top of international stuff, but it's like, when it comes to Korea, it's like nothing. Like, they are way at the bottom, like, by a lot.
Yeah. And I think the thing with the Korean fandoms is that they take... Weirdly, with boy groups and girl groups, it's that difference of, like, girl groups get a lot of fans very, very quickly. Again, you have the misogyny of, like, you know, hot new young girl. Like, oh, what's the new hot young girl group that we can all love that eventually when they get older, we can throw away for the next group of young girls? Boy groups... Especially in Korea, I found. And in America, boy groups have that similar tendency because, you know, internationally, you're allowed, like, one boy group at a time. You're not allowed multiple. K-pop gives you multiple. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
What do we do now? But, especially in Korea, you gain them over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, like, take NCT. Look how long, because NCT Dream has recently had...
the part that they are at. Yeah,
NCT, especially, like, NCT Dream, this last... Because we were just talking about them the other day, where they had, like, this massive... Like, their album sold insanely well.
Yeah, they have, like, this is, like, one of the best-selling boy group albums, like, ever.
Yeah, and, like, they're doing great, and I'm like, oh, great for NCT Dream, but it takes... It takes time to grow that.
And the fact that ATEEZ is the youngest group over... they need more time to really develop their fan base there.
But what I will give a boy group fandom is that they are loyal.
Oh, yes.
They will stick with it. B2B has for their age, obviously people fall off. It's not as big as it used to be, but they have a strong fandom.
Oh, yes.
If TVXQ and, you know, Suju and B2B and groups like that, they have this strong fandom. And that's why they last 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The same cannot be said for girl groups.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sad.
And it's,
we might do an episode on this. Because I have a lot of thoughts.
Girl groups need to have, I think, more of the, like, general public fandom in order to be successful initially. Where the boy group bands, they get a fan base and they just need to have it.
Yeah, they have it forever.
Yeah.
So that's the other reason that girl groups do extremely well digitally, but none of their... Boy groups sell ridiculously well on albums.
Yeah, it's completely opposite with digital charting and album sales. Yeah. Like, physical album sales, boy groups are insane. You can't even compare to most girl groups, but digital charting is way better for girl groups.
Yeah, and if you look at it, And then if you look at, like, investment and money that's being brought in, if you're touring and all of that, like, what's gonna get more money? The 99-cent digital track or the $20 album that I have on my shelf?
The, like, 80,000 album sales, yeah.
Exactly. So, like, there's that aspect to it as well. But overall, I think that AT just needs more time to gain that Korean public.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that boy group fandoms grow slowly. It is very rare that you... Because, like, take the years 20... Like, take, for example, 17 and, like... Twice wasn't 2015. Twice and 17.
Both massive. 2015.
Both massive. Twice got instantly popular.
Yes.
But... Over time, 17 now sells more albums, or roughly the same albums that Twice does.
I think they sell more albums than Twice.
They sell more albums than Twice now. And I think that you're just looking at differences in longevity and, like,
For sure.
If you, for that, it's just, like, it takes time, but you will get the loyalty.
And I think Twice is honestly, and it's, like, this is bizarre to think about, because Twice is only, this is, like, how many years now?
Six years
for Twice. They're already kind of, like, on a decline of, like, popularity. Oh, yeah. And, like, everything, I mean, in the public.
Again, you've been, you get the new groups. A company will debut, companies debut girl groups very, like, around that 7-year cycle, because that's why girl groups don't, like, that's the 7-year girl group curse. They, when their contracts are finished, they don't resign. But the boy groups keep resigning.
A lot of the boy groups also just, like, forget to disband. And they're just, like, they're not gonna do anything, but, like, we're just not gonna disband.
But it is lucrative for them to have the boy group name attached to them.
Yeah.
Like, then it keeps the fandom relevancy there, that you can just, you know, maintain that. But this is a conversation for another day. We might just do a full episode on this.
We probably easily can.
We can do if you want a produce style essay on the differences of boy group and girl group fandoms from, you know. I mean, you know, we have degrees. We're qualified. Not degrees in
like, you know, K-pop, Korean theory. History, but like, you know, I have a degree.
We have degrees.
Yeah.
We are qualified, Kayla. We're exactly. Very qualified.
So qualified.
But, you know, mm-hmm. Now we move on to, do we want to, oh, so I have an idea. Do we want to do the one we have less to say about and then
sure.
Go into
and then go into
fate?
The absolutely best one.
So we're going to skip over SF9 for right now. So we're going to talk about,
The boys.
I have very little to say about this.
I have almost nothing to say about this performance, except for the fact that I don't really like it that much.
So they decided to do nothing of their own
because
song,
the boys have ran out of songs of the boys to perform, is what
I mean, I don't think they did. What do we got? Boy? They're not going to do Boy.
They're going to do Giddy Up.
Giddy Up? Like, they're not going to do Giddy
they're
Up.
They're
going to
do
Bloom.
Dance,
they're
dance,
not
going to
do Dance Dance. They didn't do Dance Dance Dance?
No.
I thought that they did.
They did not. They did No Air. But they're out of songs that fit their concept, current concept that they could perform. I guess they could have gone into B-sides if they really wanted to, but.
Sure, but you know what, they decided to do Monster by EXO. Why are we doing so many, why is the boys doing so many, why are we doing?
What
why
are we
doing?
Why
are we doing so many EXO songs so
I don't
recently?
Know.
Why are we doing so many Blackpink
why?
Songs? Why are
we
doing so many EXO songs? What are we doing?
What are we doing? Is really the thing. And also, we're going to continue on. We're going to put a Game of Thrones related word in the title of the song because, of course, we do. And I'm just like, it has absolutely nothing to do
but, like,
with anything here.
Slowly they have been, like, lessening the actual Game of Thrones theming. Because I remember when they did No Air, it
No
was
Air
full
was
night
full
King.
Game of Thrones. And then The Red Wedding, it was, like,
slowly,
in title only.
Yeah.
And then that's where we are now. It's title only that we're
yeah,
putting
we're, Stormborn. Yeah, we're disassociating from Game of Thrones. What is their original song called? Is it Game of Thrones themed?
No, it's called Kingdom Come. It is a direct sequel to Checkmate. Like, it is Checkmate Part 2 is that song. I do like it a lot. I think it's better than Checkmate.
Okay, good.
But the song
is
very obviously Checkmate Part 2.
Because if you want, like, a performance that was great, but a song that was whelming, period.
Yes, whelming.
Go check out Checkmate.
Yes.
That was, I was whelmed. I was like,
I wonder if they're gonna, for their finale performance, I'd be very interested to see if they're gonna pull from, like, do the thing they did in Checkmate, pull from all their Kingdom performances, but also make reference to Road to Kingdom in it as well.
I don't know how you
time.
Do that. I don't know how you do that, but
no, also
yes,
the AT
I
song. The AT's original song is fine. I like it. I don't think it's bad. It is the song that they teased at the end of the Fireworks I'm the One music video. That is the Kingdom song.
So this song was written months ago.
Oh yes.
I mean, I think all these songs were written months. All these songs were written before, like, I feel like anything else on this show was done.
Oh yeah.
But honestly, this is a fine cover.
I don't enjoy this arrangement of Monster because it's got that weird high-pitched string, like, theme, which I think might be an OST from Game of Thrones, or maybe it's similar to something that sounds like it comes from Game of Thrones, but I think that ruins it for me because I don't like that just being there the whole time.
To be honest, this is probably the one I've seen the least in that
I've only watched it, like, twice, I think. Just because
honestly,
I watched it when it aired, and then I watched it again before we recorded.
The thing with it is also just that I don't think they, like, the arrangement changed slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they don't really do much, like,
they don't do it.
Original dance.
No, like, it's very, it's very, this is another one, monster. Like, the icon where I'm, like, very, I'm, like, whelmed. It's, like, very boring. Also, I feel like the boys' stage production has decreased in quality each round of this show.
They've run out, they've realized that they're not winning, so
because
they
went
the money.
All in on No Air, and then Osol and Mio had a lot, and then we've come to this, and it's, like, really, I mean, the stage is fine, but it's so much less compared to both of those. But the one thing that I did have fun with on the boys' stage is when they brought out that snake. And immediately I was like, oh, so we've repurposed the tentacle from Wonderland is what this is.
Yep. That, and then, the snake is just the tentacle from
and
Wonderland.
And then I was fully unprepared for Sunwoo to jump out of the mouth of the snake. And I was like, oh, shit.
I'm like, how long were you in there for, buddy? You okay?
I know, and I went and I watched his fan cam because I'm like, how did he get in the snake? I was like, I want to know how he got in the snake. And then
I
want
to see him have to, like, crawl through the... Because I want to know how long
I
that's...
Think,
because it's
I
out
know.
The side. So I'm like, did he have to crawl through the entire...
Because I was
like,
curious
sort of,
if
like,
he just jumped in the mouth of it, and then they lifted it up and put it back down, and then he came out, or if he crawled through the back of the snake and got in that way.
I personally like to imagine that he had to crawl, like, through the whole snake.
I know. But
I think that's funnier.
You can't see it in the fan cam at all. Like, it's just completely black. And everyone
so,
in the
like,
comments is like, we all came here to see how Sunwoo got in the snake, and we didn't figure
look,
out the answer.
To be honest... No one has proved to me otherwise that he was put in it. Thus, now I think he had to crawl.
Yes.
I like
the
to
back,
imagine
he
that.
Crawled through the back of his
he
snake.
He crawled through the whole thing.
Yes.
And that is in my brain now, and you cannot convince me otherwise. You have no proof that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, people don't even try to convince me.
No. So, that is canon what happened.
That is canon what happened. But, like, genuinely, the snake... Figuring out how Sunwoo was in that snake is the most interesting part of that
performance. It really was, because I was like, we brought out the snake, and then I was like, oh, well, this is kind of stupid, because we already saw the tentacle, and then Sunwoo jumped out of the snake, and I was like, oh, shit.
I'm like, well, like, well, you know, Yosung didn't jump out
sure.
of the tentacle, so I guess this is upping the ante?
I guess it's it was surprising. I mean, that's really all it was. It was like, I was very shocked when it happened, but I don't know if it added really a lot to the performance as a whole.
It didn't. I think the snake was more useless than the tentacle. The tentacle
I don't know.
Was a surprise.
I don't know what, because the tentacle also fit the theming, because it was pirates, and that was, like, the Kraken, and it's like, I don't know why we have a snake here. Like, what's the purpose of the snake?
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
I don't know.
It was weird.
Have,
it was
like,
a weird performance.
I mean, the fact that we have so far only talked about the snake and the tentacle, I think, says all you need to know about this performance.
Yeah.
So, now shall we go to the best one?
We go to the best one, which is SF9.
We skipped over SF9, because, again, we are the SF9 stands,
we are.
Not the icon.
No one apparently
one.
Watching the Ranking Kingdoms group figured out that we were SF9 stands, so...
Surprise!
Surprise, here we are. But they're gonna cover Taemin's move. Which
also, I want to point out that this had a better human tree than the wolf performance.
It did! That was my first thought. I was like, we did a human tree from wolf, and it's like, we're not even performing wolf, but we got a better human tree already.
They had a human tree, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Wolf had some people standing with their arms, like, up in a tree branch-like formation, and that was really all it was.
That performance is terrible. But
horrible.
This is great. So they cover, I think we had an influence.
We did. We told them at the beginning, it was like, we're going to tell you what you're doing wrong and what you need to do better. And we told SF9, you need to be sexy. And they took that and they really just ran with it this whole show.
They've
it's like
done
every performance they've done, they have gotten increasingly sexier and now we're here doing Taemin's move and it is amazing.
Incredibly sexy.
So sexy.
And it's different kind of sex, because we said 2 p.m. style sexy, but they are distinct from 2 p.m.
We
this
are
not
somewhere,
full
we're somewhere in the middle of, like, Vix
of
and 2 p.m., I think.
Oh,
with the
I
want to
say
concept.
we're in the middle of Taemin in 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Because I think, because they're more, because it's like,
because it's more,
know.
Like, aggressively sexy than Taemin's
oh, yeah.
original move is. Like, it is, like,
yes,
it's really
it's
just
not
full
like,
out there, but we're not, like,
but
explicit
it's,
entirely yet.
Yeah, because we're not, like, full 2 p.m.,
like, not everyone is shirtless yet.
Not everyone's shirtless, not everyone is, like, grinding, not everyone is, like, seductively, like... Yeah. Like, just being like, girl, like, they don't have a woman yet. They haven't gotten to the point of having...
in the performance yet.
Yeah, the women haven't arrived yet. When they arrive, that will be when
we've gone full 2 p.m., yes.
Yes.
I also love their pre-performance prep period, because the first part of it is they're all discussing the thing, and they heard this theme, No Limit, and immediately were like, how do we make this performance so we're wearing as few clothes as possible, is essentially the conversation they're having now. Because Taeyang is like, we've been sexy, we need to be more sexy, and then...
we need to go farther.
And it's like some of the things they're saying, and it's like, oh, so it's like you're wearing a suit in the front, but nothing in the back, or whatever.
I'm like, or it's like chaps?
It was like, so funny. And I like, they're just randomly bleeping words they're saying, and it's like, this is a 39 plus performance right now.
Just like, what?
And then Channy is there looking like lost and confused, like the child that he is still.
And them just being like, Channy, you have to be... Channy has an extended period of time where he is the only person on stage.
And then the second half of their performance prep is them telling Channy, you need to be sexier, is what it is.
And Channy is just, I don't know.
And Channy is like greatly
hands.
He is greatly uncomfortable doing this, because it shows him like practicing the dance, and then like by the end he's like curled up in a chair in the corner. He's like, I don't like this.
I don't want to, like, I need to...
He's like, I can't.
And everyone else is full in. Could you mind if Rowoon was here?
Oh my god, Rowoon. I miss him. Oh, my god. He would have been great in this. I miss Rowoon in this show.
I miss Rowoon,
I hope
too.
He shows up in the finale, because he did actually record their finale song. Like, he's in there. So, like, I want him in the finale. So I'm wondering if we're gonna get him. I want him. We got only one Rowoon appearance, really, for the whole show. Which is sad.
Yeah, I genuinely... I think he will. Because they got him in the Sealer performance. So
they did.
I think maybe they can figure out a way to get him in this one.
I think that would be great. Because it's like, the recording time might be like shorter too. Because it's going to be a live finale or whatever. So it's like, hopefully they get him in there. I would hope that they do. This is so good. This whole performance is great.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that Zuho, who cannot speak fluent English, can write a better full English rap verse than the two Australians, plus Jisung. And I'm just like, how is this the point that we're at right now? Because I've like listened to Zuho's like English like rap verses before, and they're usually not good.
No.
Like the grammar is usually not good, and there's usually just words all over the place. But his rap verse here is, like,
it's
amazing.
It's so great.
It's
great. He is living. He looks
amazing. He is thriving. He is so into this concept. Like, he is, like, probably one of the sexiest ones there. Like, he's so into it. He's so great.
You know, he's found his concept. I think a lot of SF9 has realized that they really like doing... They're good at it, and they like doing it.
Absolutely thriving in this concept. Like, Taeyang loves it. He's great.
Taeyang loves it. I think Jaehyun loves it.
Dawan even loves it. I think Hwiyoung's also really into it, too.
I think the issue is really the child, Channy.
It's Channy. I forget that he is the Maknae, and he is, like, a child. He is a child. And his entire thing, he's like... all of the other members are so good at being sexy, and I feel like I can't do it. And I'm like, he's a baby.
And it's not that he's bad at it.
He's not.
He's just
not as sexy as everybody else.
And
I think it's just gonna
take some time.
I think he'll grow into it.
Mm-hmm. SF9 has only gotten better, and I think that this is really like... this is, like, they have also gotten in a car and are driving down this concept
sexy.
That, like...
sexy. It's like, we are sexy now.
Like, yeah. If Stray Kids is going at 100 miles an hour, they're going at, like, 75. Like, they've not gone full out where this... I'm 100% positive this will be a title track.
Right.
But I want them to embrace this.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that they do.
They are doing so well with this whole concept. They are absolutely thriving, like, with this. And I really hope that that's the direction they keep going as a group, because it's so good. And I think it's such a great concept for them, because they do it so well.
Yeah. And then you have the fact that the bit I love the most from the... not to go back to the pre-stuff.
Yeah.
But just Icon and SF9's new friendship.
Oh my god, it's my favorite thing. It is my favorite thing that's happened because of this show is the SF9 icon friendship. It is, like, the cutest thing ever. It is so, so, so cute. So Icon, essentially, before SF9 is about to reform, like, Surprise shows up outside of their dressing room and is just cheering them on. And it's, aww, it's the cutest, the most adorable thing ever. I love it so much.
They really, I think that this is a friend, because I'm happy that both of these groups have more friends.
I know.
Just because I feel like they're both seemed like very isolated groups.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they, like, probably don't have other idol friends, but, like, the perception is that they're very isolated groups, because, again, like I've said, like, I think 8 times in this episode, Icon can have nothing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
YG exactly. Entertainment, let Icon have Icon themselves things.
Have said that they don't really have that many idol friends, because they're kind of isolated, because, like, YG just is kind of its own entity.
Isolating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even from, like, other YG artists.
Oh, I yeah, I feel like they, I think Icon talks to Winter, but that's it. Because, of course, they talk to Winter, but...
Yeah.
But half of Winter's in the military right now, so...
So, like, they have no friends.
Yeah.
I wonder if they still talk to B.I. I hope so.
Bobby, oh, so this is a very off-top thing. Bobby apparently left a comment on B.I.'s Instagram, and this is the thing that fans found out, that aww, he was excited about his solo album, so that, yay, was cute.
Guys, support B.I.'s solo album. The kid's adorable.
Adorable.
He deserves a redemption arc. He I'm does. Hoping he does well.
I know.
We're off topic.
We really are. There's another thing. Oh, I want to talk about how Channy just calls up Taemin to ask for advice. And it's just like, that's a thing that Channy can do. Hello. Is he can just call up Taemin and is like, hi, I'm covering your song. How do I be more sexy? Help
how
me.
How do I be sexy? Help. Assist.
And it just reminded me when that happened is that because it was like, it's not Weekly Idol, but you know that offshoot show that the two guys from, yes, Weekly Idol form for a while? Channy went on, yeah, one of the episodes where it was like, who's Taemin's biggest fanboy, essentially? And it was him and it was two people from NCT Dream and it was somebody else. But Channy won that competition and then got Taemin's phone number plus, like, a shirt from Taemin or
something. I like that that's what you win is Taemin's phone number.
You get Taemin's phone number is what you won.
Like, and then you have to figure out, like, am I brave enough to text Taemin?
Yes.
The answer, and apparently the answer is yes if apparently I'm covering his song. Apparently the answer is yes. I hope that...
That show was also, like, several years ago that happened, too. And so,
so like, he still has it and Taemin hasn't changed his number. Which I'm shocked that Taemin has, or he has changed his number, and Channy was one of the person that got the number.
He's in the contact. He got the new number.
He's in the contact.
Exactly.
Because you know that Taemin had to pick up that, like, this is a phone call he picked up, so he definitely knows. I don't think Taemin's picking up random numbers he's never heard of.
And Channy addresses him pretty casually, too, and so it's like, it's really cute, like, their whole phone call.
I kind of love it, so.
It's so cute. Also, SF9's original song is very much a B-side. It sounds like a very typical SF9 B-side, a very good B-side, but it's got, like, big SF9 B-side energy to it, so. And then I also was interested, so I read the lyrics to it, because I'm like, how sexy are we going? And it's a fan song, essentially, because a lot of it talks about their fans, so I thought it was, like, and how, it's essentially, like, the lyrics are about their journey through Kingdom and how they had a hard time, but the fans were, like, really helpful. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, mm-hmm, that was their finale song.
Yeah. I like this whole thing of... I like when they do fan songs. I think fan songs are never, like, your best thing you've ever made.
No.
Rarely are they.
No,
I mean, there's some
all.
That stand out, but for the most part, they're fine.
I think what happened is I think this song was just probably written for them and they were going to use the song generally as the Kingdom thing and then they were probably able to write lyrics for it and whatever and that's decided what they wanted to do,
yeah,
is what I would assume.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I don't think they came in with the intention of writing like essentially a fan song for the finale. Because I think that's
a
weird choice to make.
Yeah. I think they've also realized that they're not winning, so, like, why not just do something for your fans?
I know, and it's actually very bizarre to think about how far SF9 is behind, because they've won 2 of the 3, 4 rounds of this show, and they're,
yeah,
like, no chance of winning, but they won the second round, and then they won this round, and
I'm
like,
upset.
And then they actually don't have any chance of winning, because they're so
I'm
far
upset.
Behind. Like, it's ridiculous.
I think that third round, part one, is too powerful.
That's what killed it. It killed Icon, it killed the boys, and it killed SF9. I'm like, it's really, like, there's like no chance after that when you give 15 or 5,000 points to each of those other groups. Like
per round. So
because they had to split it, but because they won all three, each of them got an additional 5,000 points. And it's like that really just killed the other team completely.
It's so sad.
It's very upsetting. I am upset. Also, because I don't think we did this for round three, part one, is I don't think we gave a ranking out of 10. Do you want to do those, like, on the fly for both rounds and just see what we do? So,
number one for the first round.
Full dash. Yep. Full dash. Not even close.
Full dash. I think that there is no number two.
No, I think we go down to, like, number four or five for the next one.
We'll go to number four. Let's do number four, I think, is that... Is it the dance performance?
I think let's do the dance, the It's One dance
performance.
The Jia and Taeyang DK dance performance.
Then I think we go with the Mayfly vocal performance.
I think five is, Love Poem, yeah.
Yeah, Love Poem. Mm-hmm. Then six I would say it's
probably Spark, yeah.
Then...
I think the nine and ten, we get two.
Yeah, 9 and 10. So
nine is the rap.
The rap, and then 10 colors is colors,
and 10 is wolf. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that sounds correct.
On the fly. Yeah, that is the on knee the slapper, fly 1 out of 10.
Knee slapper Pantitan ranking out of 10 for Kingdom Legendary War round. So for three, part this one.
Round, number one, move.
Move. I actually. Two. So I think.
Actually, no. Actually, I think it's B2B.
I think B2B is one because the thing I don't like about Move is as much as I love Move, the dance break derails the performance completely. And then the ending part that is wholly unnecessary where we take 30 seconds for them to change sets and stand in the rain. Like, that is very, it like, really both of those moments derail the performance for a bit. So, as much as I enjoy everything else about that performance so much, I think that probably knocks it down to two.
Yeah, I thought, I said Move on instinct, and then I was
because I really want to give it one, but B2B was actually, like, pretty flawless, so.
Yeah, I think number one is B2B, number two is Move. Two is
Move.
I don't think we have a number three.
There's such a steep drop off after those two that I think we're looking at like 7, 8, 9, 10 is what it is.
Yeah, because I think seven I put
AT's at seven. Sure.
AT's are icon
at 7 and 8.
I almost want to give it to Icon just because they don't care.
Let's put Icon at
Icon 7, 80s and 8, 9, the boys 10, Stray Kids.
Yeah, sure. But there's, like, after those first two, those other four are, like, almost on the same level. It's, like, there's two really good ones and then four that are just, like, whatever. I don't really care that much.
Yeah, I think that's the knee slapper ranking for these two. I'm gonna say, two rounds. They're not part one and two. They're two rounds.
No, this is round three and round four, essentially. Yep. Why do we have to keep four-round structure? Like, why can't we have five rounds? What's wrong with five rounds? I don't know.
So that's bizarre. So we're gonna come back next week.
Yeah, for the finale. The four-hour-long Kingdom finale. Jesus Christ.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Kayla, I think I'm watching it, and I'm gonna say it out. 2 hours.
Yeah.
The max I will watch.
Oh my god, there's gonna be so much filler nonsense on that. Like, absolutely so much of it.
I wanna know how long we're gonna have for just spinning our wheels for voting. I'm gonna say a full hour of it is just gonna be spinning our wheels.
Yes.
100%. Before they announce they announce the winner.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know they have to have it that long because there's a live voting aspect, but I'm like, what are we going to do for 4 hours? Like, there is absolutely no need for that.
Yep.
And it's like, it's similar to how, like, we do three performances in, like, 1.5 hours. So by the fact that we're doing six all at once.
Yeah. Because you know what I've realized? You want to know what else is 4 hours?
Eurovision
is 26 countries.
Jesus.
And they do a 4 hour performance.
And we got six K-pop groups taking 4 hours here.
I'm sorry, you're not Eurovision. You don't need 4 hours. And Eurovision's already too long.
Dude, I don't think some of the produce finales are only 3 hours. Like,
yeah.
Some of those aren't even 4 hours. Ridiculous.
And also the Produce finale spins their wheels for like 2 hours.
Oh,
anyway.
Absolutely unnecessary for those to also be 4 hours, but like, it's ridiculous. I guess at least we're getting more than just a winner because we are getting 6 performances in it, so at least there's something, there's some content there that I am interested in seeing, but like, really, it's kind of gonna be a lot of nothing. But a lot of this show, generally, like, is a lot of nothing. We had a whole sports day episode. Wholly unnecessary.
Half of which was just them jumping over hurdles.
Exactly. Exciting. So exciting.
All right. So that, friends, has been the episode.
Hooray. We're almost done. We got one more week and we'll be done with Kingdom.
And you will get other episodes from us. Please. Let's be done.
It's funny, though, because this is by far our best performing podcast series, because people want the content, apparently.
People want the content, and we're real, and we'll give you the reality. We'll give you the content. Sucks.
Yes, exactly.
We'll tell you who sucks. We'll tell you who's amazing.
Exactly.
Will we be biased? Yes, but so is everybody
obviously.
Else. Obviously.
No one out there is on. Nobody out there is unbiased, so, like, if you happen to bias the same people as us, then I guess you're gonna have a better time listening to the episodes.
Yep. Alright.
Thank you guys for watching. We are available on all major podcasting platforms, and we also have a YouTube channel where we post fun clip videos as well. We will be ranking every Kingdom performance and every Kingdom series performance once the shows are over, so that'll be coming soon. Very fun. You're also on Twitter, and we have an Instagram, and we have a recently made TikTok, if you decide that is a thing that you need from us as well, as follow us on TikTok, but... that's it. And we will see you guys next week for the Kingdom finale. So, fun.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.